K-Mud Podcast presents.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Wildcraft. This is Wild Ginger in studio for another beautiful day. What a beautiful day indeed. And today we're going to be talking about medicinal mushrooms with my new friend Danielle, so please stay tuned. Welcome to Wildcraft. Today we're going to discuss living in the woods by discussing things you might need to survive woods lifestyle. I think that's an appropriate way to explain it, maybe. I don't know. Here we go. And yes, I want to say also the opening theme song for this show is called In the Woods by Emily Cardwell. Check her out on bandcamp.com. And here we are. This is a new friend of mine. Danielle lives up in Arcata. Danielle of Microdosing Humble. Welcome to K-Mud.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so honored you could make it down. It's always fun to be live in studio with a new friend, so thank you. Excuse me. So I want to start by letting you explain exactly what Microdosing Humble is and how it came into your world and how you came into this world.
Well, that's a big question, actually. I came into the world of psychedelics, mushrooms in particular, was through my own path of healing. And really, I was guided, now that I look back on it, really being at the right place at the right time and having mentors that showed me the way of how to work with this medicine to heal things such as PTSD, heal things such as depression, heal things such as addiction, how to really work with these medicines as allies in order for us to be able to get to know ourselves on a deeper level. So that's how I got introduced. And that was like, gosh, I think 14 years ago now, when I first started the path with this medicine and the path of healing in this way. Microdosing Humble really was birthed from the decriminalization of entheogens movement in Arcata back in 2021, where they were, I led the movement, and and they were decriminalized October 6th of 2021. And after that, I took a mushroom journey, and I was shown that I needed to start Microdosing Humble. I had already been working with microdosing and in the community, but more underground. And what I really wanted is more a therapeutic setting, because people would come to me for microdosing. I'm like, hey, tell me about your life. What's going on? They're like, okay, bye. So being able to have this business, and my structure is very therapeutic of getting real with where are you at? What are we healing? What's your intention? What is integration? So it really was a dream for me to be able to help teach folks how to work with this medicine to gain deeper insights on their own inner world. And having the support to work through trauma.
Yeah. Congratulations, and thank you from everyone in Arcata, I'm sure, for bringing this medicine to the table as a legal option for people who really need to address many varied interests and problems, really. There's just so many ways we could have this discussion. I think you and I off air agreed that like we're going to try to keep it minimal, like try to stay on one or two topics, just because we could go so far with this discussion. I'm so honored you came down. And I only discovered your work because you did a workshop here a few months back in Southern Humble, and I couldn't make it. And I was so jealous. I was just like, please come back. Please talk to me. So thank you so much for reaching out. And so you do workshops in a group setting?
I do, yeah. I do workshops around how to fill your own micro doses and going through all the different protocols and such. And then how to grow, how to cultivate your own psilocybin mushrooms. So I'm talking about the cubensis here. And there's hundreds of different cubensis. And in the class, I only bring a handful for folks to choose from of what genetics they want to take home with them.
This is mind-blowing, folks. What I'm hearing Danielle say is, just like working with cannabis as a medication, there's many strains that do different things to support your healing. So maybe your problem is chronic inflammation, or maybe your problem is you just have insomnia so bad, or maybe you have PTSD from something that you can't get through alone. So different strains of this psilocybin cubensis, say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. They can do different things for your body because they work with the different chemicals in your brain. Yeah?
Yeah. You know, interestingly, I don't know the science behind it because right now science is saying, well, they're using synthetic, which I have my own personal feelings about that.
How rude.
Because this is a medicine that has a spirit.
Yes.
And like every variety, even though it's the cubensis, family, each variety has their own personality, like their own spirit that they're bringing. Of course, all of them are creating the neuroplasticity, the neurogenesis, the neuroconnectivity of our brains, and the creation of new neurons. This is what's going to help our brains heal from depression, anxiety. It lowers inflammation in the brain, which actually helps those suffering with dementia, Alzheimer's. There's new studies right now on Parkinson's disease and how it can be helpful. Yeah, it's right.
Wow.
So whatever variety you choose, it's going to all do that foundational work.
Mm.
But it's the more sensitives of us that are going to notice kind of the whisper of a difference. Like some of the medicines really create huge sleepy time. So it helps you just sleep throughout the night. Uh-huh. So I have some varieties that I work with my clients that have a lot of insomnia that has helped them to heal through that and gain balance in their nighttime routines and being able to sleep throughout the night. I have other varieties where I have clients that have serious fatigue. And, you know, certain varieties that really just help to energize, like
sure.
clean energy,
uh-huh.
and also with that motivation. Every variety, they all do the, baseline same thing, but different varieties do different things, especially for those of us that are more sensitive.
Thank you for explaining that so thoroughly. So let's get a basic thing out of the way. When we're talking about using this plant as a medicine, we're talking about microdosing, which means a tiny amount of the medication of this plant. And I love that you explained that for us, that the mushrooms have spirit, because
totally.
That is a huge part of this show that I always try to remind folks, whether you're crafting, whether you're growing it yourself or wild crafting, you're talking and working with a plant that it's alive, it has a spirit of its own, and you're asking permission and you're listening and getting guidance from the plant. And maybe you might plan on doing something one day, but then when you ask that plant, maybe today's not the right day. So it's all about give and take, and it's all about the right amount as well, because I think most people would know that if you take a large amount of this medicine, it can be a psychedelic experience, which can also be very enlightening and very healing, but isn't exactly what you're talking about. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm all behind the big dose experience. That's how I first learned how to work with this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, with the microdose, we really want to bring it into our life so we can do our day to day. We can drive. We can go to the store. We can human.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives us that gift of neuroplasticity, neurogenesis, being able to see things from a different perspective, a different view, and just a little slight shift in how we see things can change our entire reality, yeah. which is amazing.
Yes, I've done a little bit of book research on this topic, and what I've read over and over is that people have a larger amount of compassion after working with psilocybin, because it reminds us that we're all one. If we've forgotten that, because sometimes in life it can get tough out there and you might feel all alone in the world, it's such an important reminder. And I think that sometimes those large doses are necessary for folks.
Absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I mean, like, they
there's no functional reality day to day. If you're doing that all the time, it's not safe for you or others.
Totally. And in fact, it's not a medicine you would want to do that with. It's not
Thank
addictive.
You.
You know, so many of the things that we put into our body is addictive. We want more of that.
Yeah.
With this medicine, when we do large doses, it's like, yeah, I'll revisit in like 6 months, a year. That was a lot.
That was a lot to take on mentally and possibly physically as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, interesting. Very interesting in that modality. You have to be careful. And that's why working with someone like you, a practitioner of this medicine, is important, because you help people find the amount they need and the correct strain.
Exactly.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So I took a few notes here. I want to make sure we discuss things to get everything out of the way. So we thought about talking about cultivation today. So you're encouraging clients, patients of yours?
Absolutely. Yes. Cultivating, it's beautiful because these are spirits that have chosen to work with us, right? And when we cultivate, you get to build your own relationship with them. Like my relationship with them is very interesting. They ask a lot of me, which I appreciate. If I'm not in a good place, if my mental health or emotional health, they will not grow for me. They will contaminate no matter how careful I am.
Wow.
And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And when I tell that they start contaminating, I'm like, all right, I need to check in on myself.
Wow, how cool. Mm-hmm, very interesting.
Yeah, so they really keep me, I'm just on the fast track of just my own spirituality, because when I take breaks, they take breaks too.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So if someone came and worked with you and figured out a strain that works really well for the help they need, they can start purchasing like plug spawn from you like you would with like a turkey tail or anything else that you get mushrooms from?
So it's a little different. So with the, I mean, for one, cultivation isn't for everyone. And especially if you're in a place of you're already overwhelmed and you're just going through some major healing, just wait until you feel more balanced.
Sometimes it's hard just to take care of you.
Exactly.
Right? And in those cases, people can just visit with you and get the support they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure we say this too before we keep going about cultivation. People can work with you one-on-one, but you also encourage folks to do community work. Can you talk about that?
So that is for like the big dose, the ceremonial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Journey work.
Yeah, for my microdosing clients, it's just one-on-one because it's very therapeutic and it's kind of like therapy sessions. I'm not a therapist. But
the mushrooms are therapists.
They are. They are. Yes. I just hold space for it, which I have the honor to do that. But with the big doses, I encourage the community ceremony. And that is because we have been so severed in community. We've been so divided.
Mm.
And being together and doing a large dose of mushrooms, I mean, that's everyone's feeling a little awkward of like, okay, what am I doing? I don't know these people, right? And then we have the sacred silence. So in the ceremony, we don't speak to one another so we can each have our own journeys. And just having this space to be able to be vulnerable and others holding that space for you and others who are being vulnerable and you holding that space for them. It's really healing, not just it's healing on an energetic level, like our genetics, because our ancestors, what were our ancestors doing? Our ancestors were around a fire, healing together. That's what all our ancestors were doing. Whoever you are right now, that's what was going on. So being able to remember that magic, remember the connectivity of community, and it's necessary. In community, we heal. We've never meant to do it alone. And that's one of it's revolutionary. Really joining together, healing together. So that's why I really encourage the big dose ceremony, community ceremony, because it is so darn healing and a little awkward, but oh my gosh, there's things that you will not be able to reach within yourself unless you are in community. Like our first communities of where many of us got hurt is our family community. And then as we, grow in this world, how we're taught to compete against one another, see each other as enemies. If that person has, you don't have,
right.
You know, that place of scarcity. And when we're together in community, realizing that we're all really working on the same things. Yes, our individual stuff that we're working on, but gosh, like under it all, we are all connected. Like we are all so similar. It helps to heal that loneliness that so many of us carry, the shame of depression, the shame of addiction, the shame of, oh man, I'm still going through, this thing I thought I healed. We're all doing it. We're all figuring this life out together. We're all figuring out what is human, what is real, what is authenticity, what is important. It's an act also of remembering. Because we are reflections for one another. And if we're just by ourselves, there's so much that we're missing.
Wow, that was really beautiful. Thank you. I think in our community here in Humboldt and Mendocino, this area of California specifically, we are very blessed that there are so many people who really still remember what community means. And here at KMUD, for sure, we strive to protect community. We strive to be inclusive for all. And this sounds exactly like something that would lead right to that. The connection, the understanding of our differences are what makes us strong, right? I'm so thrilled you're here. I'm just like about to cry. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. You're just speaking my language so thoroughly. Thank you. So let's get back to cultivation. So if someone has been working with you, they feel strongly like they're ready to support growing this medicine in their home, mm-hmm. and they want to pick a specific strain and work with you. Bottom line, how much money do you think that would be to get started?
Yeah, I would say around $200. So it's really not that much to get started.
That is so little money. It's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. I feel like I've paid that much for a dose in college.
Depending on where you are.
All honesty. I'm from the Midwest, yo. So it's not out of people's means to do this for themselves.
Yeah.
And working with you, they can figure out exactly how to do this for themselves and start on a right path, knowing, you know, that it's medicine, that it's something that's sacred, that mm-hmm. you're asking for permission to share a relationship with a plant. Mm-hmm. And the plant will totally provide.
Yeah, and it takes patience, you know? And that's, with my workshops, I set it up as much as possible. So the folks, because we make a grow bag together, so everyone walks away with, just their own little grow bag. It's not 100% that they're going to grow for you. That's not that there's anything wrong with you or anything, you know, wrong that happened. It's just part of cultivation. You're going to grow contamination. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I always love it when folks are successful the first time because it gives you that motivation.
Yes.
But my first year trying to grow before I found someone to teach me, I grew mold.
Oops.
Yeah. And when that happens, you're going to be spending a lot because you need more grain. Right. You need more cocoa core.
You could do this in any different way that you're working with medicine too. Like I've accidentally used blueberries to try to make medicine like wine. I consider wine to be a medicine. And it didn't go well. And I lost 10 pounds of blueberries mm-hmm. and my heart was broken. So I worked really hard to get to that stage, but it also reminded me, hey, that's not the medicine you were supposed to be taking right now. And that's why it didn't work for you right now.
And also I've learned with mushrooms, again, this is my perspective and my relationship. So I can't speak for the truth of all, but you know, it's a relationship like any relationship. So the first time it doesn't work, okay, well, how committed are you?
Yeah.
You know, so it's not so much you're not supposed to work with them. They just want you to work a little harder in this relationship to show your dedication, or in my case, my devotion, but really, like how much energy are you going to put into this? How badly do you want this? And if it doesn't work the first time, you know, again, how badly do you want this? And it takes time, like any relationship.
Sure.
And yeah.
I'm hearing you say that. And it reminds me of other workings that, like even tarot reading, like simple things like that. If you're like, I'm just going to pull a tarot card and then I'm going to get in the car and leave, you probably won't get an accurate reading from a card that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit down with dedication, you cleanse your energy, you speak clearly about what you're asking the universe to support you in, it's a totally different path than just being like, I got 5 minutes. I'm going to, you know, it's not like pouring a soda and slamming it down so you can have energy for the road. It's like, this is a dedication. You're telling this plant you're willing to meet it halfway,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly.
Beautiful.
And that goes the same for microdosing. So many folks before working with me just think, oh, you know, you take it and it just makes your life better. What are you putting into it? What's your intention? Why are you doing this? Are you shifting anything in your life? Or are you waiting for it to do it for you? Because it won't.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a two-way street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say someone goes home from a workshop with you and has this cultivation bag.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, does that go under the sink? Does it go in the fridge? Do you have to give it a space on your altar? Like, what do you do with that?
Well, the mycelium is going to want to, so when it's growing in the grain, it's going to want to be kept at about 75 degrees. It doesn't have to be. It'll just grow slower. So the grain bag, it takes about 3 to 6 weeks for it to, for it to be ready. And in that time, you want to keep it 75 degrees. You want to keep it in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then After that, you take it into the light and you create you cut a hole in the bag because the light shows the mushrooms which way are we growing, and the air exchange is saying, hey, yeah, it's time to grow. So then it's kind of a waiting. You don't want it to be in the sunlight. You want it just under like a regular light bulb would actually be fine. It doesn't take up a lot of space and it can go in a corner somewhere, just making sure if there's
hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out.
So kind of similar to like if I went to the Arcata Farmers Market and purchased a grow bag for any other kind of mushroom.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And also the drop in temperature from 75, you want it to be about 70.
Okay.
So that drop in temperature is telling them, hey, it's time.
So if someone lives just with a wood-burning stove,
It's going to be a little bit more difficult in the winter.
I see.
Yeah, just mainly because for, you know, the mycelium to go through the whole bag, the longer it takes, the more room there is for contamination.
Ah, that makes sense. That makes sense, too.
Mm-hmm. So if it takes a few months, contamination might get in during that time, whereas so, like 6 weeks,
So what are like the key no-nos for contamination? Like don't put it next to your garbage can under the sink because you're throwing your trash there and that's not honoring the plant.
Totally. Like I'd put it in a place where there's not a lot going on.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. So not near a trash or just like a area that you're always passing by.
It's like a sleeping infant. You want to give it a little space.
Totally.
Let the baby sleep for now.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. I'm just checking my notes, make sure. Okay. So a couple of the things we said about cultivation that are necessities would be the grain, a pressure cooker, and some kind of tote for it to live in.
Totally. I also recommend, and I go over this in my class, but like a do-it-yourself flow hood, which just consists of like filters, air filters, and a box fan.
Okay.
And the reason that being is it's just going to help really cut down on the contamination. The main thing that we're battling here is contamination, and
we're surrounded.
Yeah. Especially in Humboldt County where it's like more humid. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Good to know. Okay. I'm looking over my notes, make sure we say all the things. Oh, if you feel like you want to, if you can, would you be willing to share maybe a story or two about someone, without naming their names, of course, that their path has been enlightened by working with this plant?
Sure.
I mean, I shouldn't even say plant. Mushroom's kind of its own.
I call it a fungi.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are a lot of fun.
Yeah. this is already touched on this really cool thing when we first started talking, but I was working with somebody who had gone into full-blown dementia. They had really kind of forgotten who their family was, unable to live on their own. Once they got started with microdosing, just within a week, they came back.
A week?
They came back.
That's mind-blowing.
They came back. They can live on their own. Yeah, still a little forgetful, still messing up numbers. You know, that's like a thing with dementia is like them mixing up numbers, still think they're, you know, forget what age they are. So like the beginning.
I forget what age I am on purpose all the time.
But, I mean, they're back. They're able to take care
of
themselves.
Beautiful.
And,
beautiful.
They can have actual conversations. And, like, with the, you know, this Alzheimer's dementia, it actually really works. So I highly recommend if anyone knows anyone who is suffering or has it in the family, it's also a preventative.
Great.
Yeah, do it. You're not going to lose anything. You will likely gain a lot.
This isn't something we discussed ahead of time, so forgive me for springing a question on you, but I think maybe people who've never done this would like to know, what are some of the negative possible side effects to be afraid of? I mean, I feel like there's not a lot to be afraid of, to be honest. It's it's a medicine that has a lot of... The side effects aren't that bad, but will you list them for me?
For sure. I mean, there's certain folks that don't... It's not in your best interest to work with this medicine, mainly if you have a personal history of schizophrenia. It can make you go into an episode.
Okay.
So if it is a legit microdose, I've heard that it can be, you know, beneficial, but if it's anything over, it's not. So that's something that I would not recommend.
Got it.
There's also certain medications, tramadol and lithium, so pharmaceutical grade, it can actually cause seizures.
Oh.
I have worked with people who still choose to microdose. Uh-huh. I believe in sovereignty. I'm not going to tell you no. Like, if you know the risk and you're willing to do it and you sign my little form, let's proceed. They've been fine, but still there is that risk.
Okay.
And this is bigger doses, and again, so minimal, but if you're on an SSRI, SNRI, MAOI, these go through your serotonin receptors. This medicine goes through your serotonin receptors, so it could make you have a flood of serotonin. This can create serotonin syndrome. This is so rare, more so with something like MDMA or ayahuasca.
Uh-huh.
Don't mix it with ayahuasca. You can die.
Thank you for saying that.
Totally.
Let's say that twice. Will you say that again? Don't mix
SSRIs with ayahuasca. It can kill you.
Thank you.
Yes. So other things with this medicine is, so back to microdosing here.
Right.
One of the biggest things is doing over a microdose. So now you're in a place of heightened anxiety. You're in a place of not being able to focus. You're in a place of, you feel kind of high, but you're not hallucinating yet. Mm. And a lot of folks don't understand what a proper microdose is. Yeah, we don't need to be increasing this anxiety and lack of focus.
So. No, that's a lot of times why people might come to that for help, right?
Exactly.
And so too much of a good thing is a bad thing.
Exactly. And that really helps the addict's brain. Those that I work with addiction, working through addiction, getting to that higher dose is helping the brain to be like, okay, actually less.
Awesome.
More is not feeling good.
Awesome. And mm-hmm. So this is why working with you is so helpful, because you can help people find their microdosing level. Because I'm imagining, maybe I'm wrong, please enlighten me, do different people's physical body weight, is that what changes what level of medicine you need? Or is it more about like your connection, or like?
It's more so your brain.
Okay.
And there's no right or wrong about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing, this is fascinating, the longer you microdose, the more sensitive you will become.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The more you use it, the less you need.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm personally down to 0.03, which is like nothing, but I have been microdosing for years.
So what would you give someone who's never microdosed before, just to find their level?
I would start them at 0.1 of a gram. That's 100 milligrams. It's a really good starting point. If you're sensitive, you'll need to do less. Most people need a little bit more.
I see.
But it's a really good starting.
Uh-huh.
And I would stick with it for at least 2 weeks on a protocol.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so subtle, trying one and being like, it did nothing. I'm going to go higher. No. It's cumulative in the way that it works in your brain.
Wonderful.
With really that neuroconnectivity. And as time goes on your right dosage, more and more profound things will be happening. And this is how it literally transforms your life.
And microdosing is not something, like you said, it's a protocol. It's not like every day I take this like I take my blood pressure meds.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for each person.
Totally. Exactly.
And that's why working with you can help.
Yeah. And we just figure it out through experience and, just the integration of how it worked or didn't work. Oh, one more thing I want to mention with if you have a heart valvular disorder, there is one study, because it goes through your 5-HT2A and 5-HT2B receptors. So the 5-HT2B receptor is connected to your heart valves. So if you already have a disorder, and I've worked with people that do.
Mm.
But after the 8 week, because my program is an 8 week program, not to limit you, but for them, I do require to take at least a month, if not longer, of a break. And also just checking in if anything is feeling different or off, stopping immediately.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recommend that your patients explain what they're doing to their primary care doctors before they begin?
Let them do what feels right for them.
Okay.
There's a lot of doctors at this point that are on board. They can't say, I support this.
They can't thumbs up it.
Exactly. But there's a lot of doctors in this area that are not opposed.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd say the more people that know, the better. But also being mindful.
It can be intimidating. I don't know how long it took me to admit to my care team that I use cannabis mm-hmm. as a pain killer, because I was afraid of the stigma around that for years, but I feel comfortable now. But it took people saying it out loud and bringing it to the surface to get doctors to hear it over and over and recognize, oh, this must be working because these people are all doing this.
Totally.
So when you speak up with your Western medicine doctor, you are supporting the medicine and letting them know, this is working for me. Mm-hmm. Don't diss it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Very cool. Very cool. But it's not a requirement to work with you.
No, not at all. I mean, especially some folks, like with their professions or just the aid that they get, like such as veterans, might not feel comfortable disclosing things that does still have a stigma.
Good point.
So again, doing what feels safe for you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because the anxiety can make it more difficult to heal.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about who knows and doesn't know what you're doing,
exactly.
Instead of focusing on what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Danielle, this is amazing. Can you please make sure and remind us where people can find you?
Sure. So my website is microdosinghumboldt.com. Mm-hmm. Would you like me to spell it?
Sure. Yeah.
M-I-C-R-O. D, oh gosh, you know what, I'm
D-O-S-I-N-G.
Thank you.
Humboldt, H-U-M-B-O-L-D-T.com?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
No worries.
I think I need it written down.
I was an English major, so cool. I like love letters.
Yeah, me and my dyslexia.
There you go. See, it's a teamwork thing. Mm-hmm. That's why we need community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my number is 707-601-4690. You can call me or text me. Or email me at microdosinghumboldt@gmail.com.
Perfect. And so if somebody's just curious and they're not sure yet, you're willing to chat with them about it?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I have a 15-minute complimentary call where we can talk about what are you interested in? What's your intentions? What are your questions?
Great.
And there's a ton of folks that just call me and then don't follow up, and that's totally fine.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And just thinking back about the dementia part of it, this isn't true. It's a made-up scenario. What if my partner, my mom, who knows, somebody in my life has dementia and they can't speak for themselves to say, I'd like to try this? Where does that gray line, that's a really fuzzy space.
Well, I'd say that's between you and spirit.
Yeah.
Doing what feels right.
Right.
Yeah. And if it feels in your heart that it's right.
That was a really tricky question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, because there is that thing of sovereignty.
Yes.
And some people who are unable to get into that place of speaking their truth anymore, and really feeling into it, this person would want this, or man, this person really wouldn't. And being honest with yourself, as much as you want that person to come back, if you know that person maybe doesn't want to come back, because a big part of dementia I have found is their own trauma. Of not wanting to see certain things, not wanting to be in this world anymore. So being able to escape before physically being released. And of course, there's other reasons of why this happens. But, really checking in with yourself of what feels right for in the situation.
Yeah.
And really being able to separate you and what you're wanting and really tuning in with that person. What is in their highest good? What is their benefit? What would they want? And
that
go
story is just mind-blowing to me. A week later, they were back to themselves.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, another thing to mention, you have to do it forever. When you stop, again, in about a 5-day period, the dementia will come back just as strong.
Wow.
So it's something that has to happen. I recommend every other day.
Uh-huh.
Some folks that can't remember, that are still kind of on that edge every day, even though there's going to be a bit of a tolerance, it's still benefiting. And just remembering it's a lifelong thing.
So top 5 reasons to try microdosing today would include Alzheimer's, PTSD, sleep apnea or disorder, maybe depression,
addiction,
and chronic pain.
Yes.
Is there any other big ones?
Did I talk about why it helps with chronic pain?
No, please do.
Okay.
And then I should really move forward. Unfortunately, I don't want to at all.
Okay. I'll come back if you would.
Please,
like.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's fascinating because it actually helps to decrease inflammation. And this is how it's helping with the dementia too. It helps to decrease inflammation in our bodies. So most of the time when we're feeling pain, there is inflammation. So with this decrease, it helps the pain to dissipate. Sometimes when this pain is happening, it just is. It helps us to redefine our relationship with this pain. And in our minds that we feel pain before the pain. Like, we expect the pain to happen before it happens, and then it intensifies, the pain is there. So what helps that part of our mind to release that expectation? So when, yes, there's pain there, there's pain there. Or when there's not. Or, and then so in that way, it feels like it's decreased because your relationship with it has shifted. So pain isn't as painful.
That's amazing. Yes, something about chronic pain is the pain, but also it can be in your head too, because yeah. You're like, oh, this pain is getting to me. And then it just gets so much worse when you really start thinking about it.
Exactly. And it helps to calm our nervous system, because when we're in chronic pain, we are in fight or flight. We're hurting.
You're like, all our tensed
body
up.
Exactly. This medicine literally helps our body to relax. And with this relaxation, there's going to be less pain.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for being so brave to bring this medicine to our community, to open up your arms and accept others into healing with you. And thank you for coming here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Such an honor.
Me. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. One more time, the best way to reach you is your website or your phone number, yes?
Yes. Should I repeat it without
yes,
spelling
please.
It?
Yes,
that
please.
That didn't work out very well last time.
let's repeat it.
Okay, so my website, microdosinghumboldt.com, and my phone number is 707-601-4690.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Danielle. This, and please check out her website. If nothing else, just to appease a curiosity, go check out the website just to learn a little bit more about making this a normalcy in our community, because it should be. It's so helpful to so many people. Thank you. What you're doing is serious medicine work for
this
so many.
Thank you, Daniel. Podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.